I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We are on the radio from 1 until 4. Then after 4 o'clock, if you missed stuff, you can hear it again. John and Ken on demand 24/7 on the iHeart app.
Well, oh, you have a chance to win money. By the way, we do have another keyword coming up at around 1:20. I'm going to call him I am not okay guy. Joseph Emerson is the Alaska Airlines pilot that was been big news for the past couple of days because, he was riding along on a flight up there in Oregon. It was a flight actually operated by Horizon Airlines from Seattle that was headed to San Francisco. And he was just going to ride along to get to San Francisco to operate another plane. So as courtesy, like they do, they let him sit in the cockpit in a jump seat. And after discussing the weather, it says, and a few other nothing things, Emerson did announce, "I am not okay." And then he basically tried to shut the plane engines down. There's a system, an emergency system. If the fire breaks out, and if you do pull those switches, it would shut the plane's engines down. And of course, they're at cruising altitude at this time.
It cuts off the fuel to the engine.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when you're on the ground, that's fine to do. But I don't think you're going to do that when you're
no
10s, 20, 30,000 feet in the air. So Hull says a whole ordeal took only a minute and a half before the pilot and the co-pilot were able to wrestle him away from doing what he wanted to do. And eventually he's pushed to the back of the plane and says he was handcuffed to a seat. But I see he was on his phone texting.
Well, they put zip ties on him.
Oh, it was zip ties. Okay.
And what was he texting? Trying to explain to his wife why he's going to be in the news in about 5 minutes?
I might be late. Right.
I was not okay.
I don't know. We don't have any information other than that. But other passengers saw him. One woman made eye contact with him and said it was creepy. Here's the update. Believe it or not, he may have been on psychedelic mushrooms.
Which is legal, I think, in Oregon, isn't it?
You might be right. Oregon and Washington have done things right with with substances. But all I know is Newsom actually vetoed the bill here on October 7th. It was announced that he was vetoing decriminalizing the magic mushrooms.
Oh, but, well, that explains it then.
They're trying to figure out, because he said he had taken them, but he had not taken them that day. They're trying to figure out whether he was on them that day, whether they were still in his system. But he cooperated with investigators and basically said, whatever you want to throw at me for charges, I understand.
Well, how about 83 attempted murder charges? How would that do?
That sounds like a lot of prison time, but again, it's Oregon, so I...
All right, so he was flying out of the Seattle area. And
yes, they made an emergency landing in Portland. So that's where he's been detained.
I got a headline here. Mushrooms go mainstream in Seattle.
Oh, all right. Well, that's...
And
that's probably more where he's from. Does it say? Yeah, we found out where he lives, right? Well,
I think Northern California is where he lives.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. The Daily Mail, of course, talked to his stunned neighbors. Well, I mean, that story.
You could buy them anywhere, right? I mean, it's just that.
Yeah. Pleasant Hill. You're right. Pleasant Hill, California, in the rolling hills east of San Francisco is where he lives.
Well, I was
with his wife and two young sons. Is so sad. Apparently, he said he suffered from depression. And magic mushrooms supposed to help people who are severely depressed.
That's why they've been trying to get it legalized. The cover for this has been it helps PTSD, it helps depression. War veterans come back and it improves their quality of life if they're still all traumatized from whatever they saw in wartime.
Right.
So I figured there had to be something like drug related or mental illness related or both.
Right.
Because if you read the stories, he's like Mr. Perfect All-American Dad. Has two cute kids, has a cute blonde wife. They live in a perfect suburb. All the neighbors think he's all friendly and warm and nice. Don't trust those people. I keep telling you. Don't trust Mr. Happy in the neighborhood, okay? Don't trust the guy who looks like he has a perfect life.
But
no such thing.
But there's plenty of people with a perfect life who can be trusted.
No. not one.
Because this is another indicator of America's problem with mental illness. I mean, depression means he was probably suicidal. And that's really what he was thinking about, although that's a really awful thing to do to take down all those people with you.
So what's the screening for that at Alaska Airlines?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he was flying for Alaska, and this actually was an Alaska flight that they subcontracted out to Horizon.
Yeah, but I think I've seen like the TV commercials for drugs for people to treat depression. I think sometimes the disclaimer includes suicidal thoughts or something.
A lot of those drugs make it worse. You go from feeling down about life to wanting to end life. A lot of those drugs are dangerous.
He claimed it was his first time taking mushrooms, but again, we don't know the timeline of this. But he said he became depressed 6 months ago. So whether he took them again recently or that's still in his system from when he took them, I don't know, days, weeks, months ago, we don't know.
I have a question. You wouldn't know this. Maybe Eric would. Is it actually a mushroom when you buy this stuff from your local dealer?
Yes. They look like actual mushrooms.
Actual mushrooms, and so they taste like
mushrooms?
What do
you do? You cook them?
Well, you can eat them. You can make tea out of them.
Tea?
Yeah. You can steep them and make tea.
This sounds like something Deborah would do.
Can we get some for John on the air and see
what I
know a guy.
Well, wait a minute now.
No, I do.
He didn't sign the bill to decriminalize, so just wanted to make sure you're okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay. He knows the guy. I know a guy. You want some magic mushrooms? I know a guy.
The guy with the old raincoat, he opens up and it's full of all sorts of illegal stuff. It says right now the FBI is investigating the details and the timeline of the use of magic mushrooms. He walked peacefully to the back of the aircraft, but then they got a call. They got a call from the pilot saying he was losing it. And then one flight attendant said he just kicked out the flight deck. You need to cuff me right now or it's going to get bad, told the flight attendant.
You have hallucinations.
So he tried to grab the handle of emergency exit in the back, too. Yeah. He tried to make another quick getaway.
Well, it destroys, it ruins your brain. Your brain starts to malfunction. Everything shorts out when you put that kind of poison in your brain. These aren't drugs. This is poison. These are things that ruin the functionality of your brain.
You don't think that there's some qualities to
I really don't give a crap.
You
know what works the best for depression? Going out and taking a walk or taking a run. Physical activity.
Gets your brain's chemicals going in a positive direction.
Yes, yeah, it releases happy hormones. It does. It releases...
I just thought of sexual when you said that. Well, happy hormones.
Okay, sex is a good idea, too. You know?
I have an erection. I just have happy hormones right now.
Chase the wife around the house. He should go take a run. He should go out and play with his kids. You keep busy. If you keep busy, then you won't get all the negative, dark thoughts flying around in your head. Just keep moving. Keep doing something.
What about therapy? No, you don't recommend
therapy's that? Therapy's crap. You get some overeducated wiener sitting, scratching his beard.
Talking about eco-grief.
What are you going to do? You were traumatized when you were five. I mean, people got to, like, shut up about their childhoods, shut up about their trauma already. Just get up, go to work, take a run, do stuff. Be productive.
You're right. It brings up an interesting argument as to whether or not it really is just the chemicals in the brain that need to be, you know, revitalized, or whether or not there are events that are causing you to feel
this so down. This is an age of self-indulgent nonsense. Absolute self-indulgent nonsense, where everybody feels oppressed, everybody feels traumatized, everybody feels like a victim, and I'm just completely fed up with it. I don't want to hear anybody's complaints anymore about anything. Just go be productive. Do something useful every day. Fill your days with things that matter, and you'll find out you're not depressed, you're not oppressed, you're not victimized. This is what a ridiculous age and a ridiculous culture we live in.
And another thing, too, and this always comes up with drinking, pilot safety. He allegedly told cops he hadn't slept in 40 hours and felt as though he was having a nervous breakdown. Remember, he was on his way to get on another plane in San Francisco.
Yeah, right.
That's why he jumped on this plane to get a ride there.
All those people.
So you think about that. Yeah, they're lucky.
Okay, so when you're up for 40 hours, where's the wife in this? Did he not talk to her for 40 hours? Did she not get wind that her husband's on mushrooms and whacked out?
Sometimes pilots are away for weeks at a time. I mean, yeah, he's spoken to her. But
the perfect family man should be talking to her every few hours. And this
again, don't trust the perfect family man. Leave me alone. I'm a family man.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, exactly. And what was that guy doing? That guy was picking up a hooker in a bar.
Good Hall & Oates history.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, when we return... First order of business is a chance for you to win some money. Stand by and listen for another keyword in a KFI cash contest. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. It's the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We'll be talking to Blake Trolley, KFI News, after 1:30. Claremont police are looking for a guy. I mean, listen to this. Since 2019, he's been arrested some 14 times. For crimes including burglary, arson, possession of stolen property, and drug offenses. He, most recently, they're looking for him for a stabbing. Nice. These are the kinds of people that run around now in California, thanks to our lax criminal justice system. And Claremont police are blaming. They are blaming the L.A. County D.A., George Gascon. We'll talk about this story after the news at 1:30, and what a creepy...
Gascon strikes again, though, huh?
Booking photo of this guy, Philip Burunda. Oh, my gosh. He's just got the really scary, evil eyes and sure. The big bald head and the goatee.
I mean, if you saw this guy in prison, right, just came face to face, would you say, yeah, let him out? Sure, he'll be fine.
Non-violent, non-serious.
He'll probably get a job at a pharmacy mixing prescriptions. Sure, that's him.
We're largely going to ignore dippity-doo Gavin Newsom in China, but this is a good one. And good job by Katie Grimes with the California Globe. Gavin Newsom's in China, and he guess where he visited? BYD, the electric car maker, the company he awarded $1.4 billion to back in 2020 when they were looking for all sorts of medical personal protection equipment like masks. Remember that story?
Massive corruption in this story. Massive corruption.
BYD stands for Build Your Dreams, and they are a big electric car maker in China.
You remember the first time they were in the news? They were they had manufactured those electric buses in Los Angeles, which would catch fire if they had to go uphill.
Oh, really?
That's right. And LA ended up with an entire yard full of burned out buses from BYD.
I would ask that question almost every year. Where did all those masks go? $1 billion worth of masks.
Yeah. So they switched from electric vehicles to masks. At the start of the pandemic.
She says he even went back and ordered another $315 million worth of masks from this company.
How do you retool your factory from building electric buses to masks?
Electric masks.
Yeah. I mean, how does that work exactly?
They pivoted. I love that term. They
pivoted. Yeah. I want to see them retool the factory floor for that.
So she did some digging. Build Your Dreams is based in Shenzhen, China. They have a California subsidiary in Lancaster that employs 1,000 people. Yeah. And they uncovered a trail of well-connected players in this $1.4 billion mask deal, which seems to lead up to the cabinet level inside the governor's office. Is that a surprise? The prominent lobbyist who represents BYD is Mark Weiderman of the Weiderman Group. The governor's campaign received $40,000 from BYW's automotive division. Weiderman, who represents Bloom Energy, a fuel cell manufacturer in San Jose, recently retooled its facility to rehabilitate ventilators for COVID-19 patients.
Oh, so Weiderman got Newsom to steer the COVID contracts to his clients.
It's looking that way, yes.
Yes.
Weiderman also represents NextGen America, owned by Tom Steyer. Oh, yes. Good Lord. Newsom's Economic Recovery Committee chairman.
You see, COVID was a banana.
Remember that guy? He tried to be governor, too.
Oh, yeah. He's
president. Did he run for president, too?
Yes, he ran for president for about 5 minutes. Yes, and corrupt Newsom directed all that COVID money to all his buddies and their companies and their clients.
California Globe called and emailed Weiderman to ask about the BYD contract. The phone call placed to his office back in May of 2020 did not get a response. A follow-up email sent to his company website also did not receive a response. Then she goes on to explain that his wife is Jennifer Wada, an attorney who now has a government relations business. Oh, that's nice. It is common knowledge even among Sacramento insiders that Wada and Weiderman are married. But
and Wada is important because she used to be a partner in Wada Williams Law Group. Her former law partner, Anthony Williams, is now Newsom's legislative affairs secretary.
No, it's so incestuously dirty, isn't it?
Yes. Anthony Williams was a senior advisor for former Democratic state Senate leaders, John Burton and Daryl Steinberg. And
look, she actually used the word. A source said the governor was able to pivot so quickly. Oh, yeah. Remember Blue Flame Medical?
Right.
That was that deal that the state pulled out of to buy masks and other medical equipment.
Right.
Because they got frightened off by some worries that they weren't going to be able to come through with the equipment.
That was another mask racket scam that was going on. So Newsom pulls out of one scam and pivots the money into another one.
Oh, so they explained, well, we needed this quickly and we were able to connect with BYD because of our connections with these three, Weiderman, Wada, and Williams.
Yeah.
I like the three W's, Weiderman, Wada, and Williams.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're all up to their necks in corruption in this deal. Our tax money to pay for all this.
I know. And again, it was Newsom's panic, too. He just panicked that year. I remember it's like, oh, we got to have all this equipment now. And there's just nobody there's no suppliers. So what did we do? Yeah. Well, we go to an electric car company in China.
You want him
that
as president?
I'm connected to through people, huh?
You want him as president, the guy who panicked and blew $1.5 billion in about 5 minutes?
Or did he? Or did he just say, hey, you know what? I can help my buddies out here. They can help me out here, and I can look like a hero, bring it in masks.
Right. Maybe it wasn't panic. Maybe it was just cold-blooded corruption.
Yeah. We found this out before.
Because he knew nobody was going to criticize him. Did you see anybody in this kiss-ass tongue bath media criticized Newsom for even a minute about blowing $1.5 billion on some sketchy electric bus company?
She even encloses, I'd have to put my glasses on, but Newsom's office organizational chart. Did you see that? Did you see that monster?
Oh, yeah.
Just how many positions there are leading out of the governor's office. Holy mackerel. This is such a waste of taxpayer money. What do these people do, as you like to say?
Yeah, well, China's got, what, a billion, 400 million people, right? It's a vast, vast land. And where does he end up? Oh, at BYD. Wow. Out of all the places you could go, you end up
at the electric car company that you gave money to for masks, right?
Yeah.
$1.5 billion.
Who's a client of one of your dirty buddies.
All right, when we come back, we will be talking to Blake Trolley. Police are looking for a 41-year-old man in connection with a violent stabbing in Claremont. He's a repeat offender, and they do believe it's because of the lax criminal justice system in the county of Los Angeles. And, of course, George Gascon, that's responsible for this guy being on the loose, too. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. You miss anything?
Yeah.
John and Ken on Demand is the podcast on the iHeart app. Goes online.
Oh, breakthrough.
Shortly after 4 o'clock.
Yeah. All right. Shortly after 4, right? Because people are asking me, when does it go up? When does it go up? Right?
Depends how quickly Eric gets to it.
It's up by 4:30.
Okay.
All right.
There you go. There's an answer.
I should reword that.
Oh, no.
I submit it to be uploaded by 4:30. Mm. Once I submit it, it's out of my hands.
Right. It's out there somewhere.
Oh. All right. We're now going to talk about, Claremont police are looking for a guy who's a suspect in a terrible stabbing at a Metrolink station. And it turns out he's got quite the criminal history.
So this is another big thank you to George Gascon.
Yeah. I wonder if he was arrested for arson this past summer, if he's one of the 13,000 cases that they have yet to make their way through.
That's right. How many?
He's out on custody waiting to be arraigned for an arson case this past summer. So I just wonder. I don't know.
Waiting to be arraigned. Wow. So maybe Gascon doesn't even prosecute arson cases anymore, huh?
Let's bring on Blake Trolley for more on this story.
Blake.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. What's with this guy? Why was he on the loose? Well, first of all, what did he do?
So let's just recap the crime here, and then we can kind of get into his criminal history. And I got to be honest with you guys, there's a lot of crossfire here between the DA's office and the city, or at least some of these Claremont police officials that we've heard from. So on Sunday, police responded to a stabbing near the train station in downtown Claremont. The man had been stabbed in the rib cage, or a man had been stabbed in the rib cage by another man during an argument. I'm told a guy who works at a nearby store that this was in the front lawn of what is a really quaint little train station in quaint little downtown Claremont. The attacker took off before police arrived. The man stabbed was taken to a hospital. The attacker was ID'd as 41-year-old Philip Baruna, who's a homeless guy. The Claremont Police Department says the man has been arrested 14 times since 2019 for crimes including arson, burglary, stolen property, and drug offenses. The Claremont Police Department says the man is currently, as you guys mentioned, out of custody, awaiting arraignment for an arson arrest, and they say he was out of custody due to the L.A. County bail schedules. The Claremont Police Association appears to be casting some blame on Gascon's policies, saying Gascon's policies have often resulted in the guy being released without charges or consequences. Now, Gascon's office is pushing back on these claims. They say the DA's bail policy will start here with the arson case. They say that the bail policy had no impact on the man's release. His office says the guy was arrested in July for a misdemeanor arson offense. His office says Claremont PD released the man and gave him a citation for an arraignment set for last month. This was aside from Gascon's office completely, as it was described to me by Gascon's office before doing this this hit. The guy apparently failed to show up to court last month, and a $15,000 warrant had been issued by the courts. Now, I'm told by the DA's office that the decision to cite and release him again was a Claremont decision. The DA's office gave me some more information on some of the other charges against this guy. The DA's office says the man was given different sentences for a series of misdemeanors and one felony. On the one felony of burglary, so this was in 2021, he was sentenced to 16 months in jail. Now, it's unclear to the DA, apparently, of how much of that 16 months he did. Once they go to jail, it's the sheriff's call, according to the DA's office, as to how much of that he actually serves. But he was handed a 16-month sentence.
I don't understand. For years and years, every time we talk about these crime stories, nobody seems to have the full details of the record. It's always unclear. When does it get clear? Isn't there a database that anybody can...
It should be very exact, right?
Log into and say he was sentenced to 16 months. He served, you know, from January 2021 to March of 2022. After 14 months, they let him out. But why isn't it immediately clear?
You know, John, you're preaching to the choir here. Every time we do one of these stories, we want to get more information. We want to have a clear picture of exactly what their rap sheet is. How much time did they do? It's far too hard, in my opinion, to get access to this information. And, you know, with this, the status of crime in Southern California,
because they don't want us to see.
It would be really helpful context.
They don't want us to see how little time these guys actually spend in jail. They don't want us to know it. So they make it difficult. They wait until the news cycle moves on to something else, and the whole thing is forgotten.
Yeah, I do think it is significant to hear, though, that he was given 16 months in jail. Now, he was also charged on a controlled substance charge. He was given 124 days in jail, which I'm told is close to the max that they could have given on that. Now, I haven't gotten details on a lot of the other charges, but with that, you know, you can combine that in the last couple of years. He was hit with some time. What I really hear here, guys, covering this story, is homeless issues seeping into what have been quiet suburbs like Claremont. You know, I grew up out here. It's always been a pretty quiet little downtown. And admittedly, since moving back a few months ago, I haven't spent a whole lot of time in downtown. But the same guy who works right near where the stabbing happened says the train station has become a hot spot for homelessness, if we go to this soundbite.
It seems like it's just a gathering for homeless people lately, or just been for the past like couple of years. It's just getting worse and worse. Transients like going through our trash cans, people hanging out. There was a guy that almost OD'd across the street next to the train station, and we had to call an ambulance for him. Luckily, he's fine. But it just seems like a lot of just nonsense. And
another business person here tells me the issue is the worst she's seen in her 10 years in Claremont. She says, you know, this, it used to just be people, the homeless situation in Claremont was more people that were down on their luck. She says this has gotten a lot more sketchy. She says for her business, she has people sleeping in her stairwell. She's had furniture stolen, urination and defecation in her planters. According to her, the local Little League field, which is somewhat close to the train station, is definitely close to the train tracks. She says that's starting to get issues with homelessness. I haven't confirmed this with the PD, but so this is all hearsay, but she says the bleachers have been set on fire. There's drug use on the bleachers, drug use in the bathrooms, and according to her, police are now having to go and patrol through the Little League fields because of some of the homeless issues that have ended up over there. So, you know, it really speaks volumes as to, you know, the status of the homeless issue in L.A. County.
So this guy's still on the loose. They're looking for him.
Yeah, still on the loose. They are looking for him, and they've obviously got a pretty clear picture of him and a pretty clear idea of him. So it'll be interesting to see where or how long it takes them to find this guy.
All right. Thank you very much, Blake. Good report. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. The Claremont guy, Blake Trolley. I love this quote that Channel 5 got from one resident. Well, if this would have happened a few years ago, it would have been completely shocking. But I think that we've just seen the way the city's going in a direction that we're not happy with.
Yeah, but everybody is going along with it because
it's been normalized.
It's been normalized. Right. They're desensitized.
And the homeless have just taken over the metro system, right. Even Metrolink out in Claremont.
And the Claremont police should be clearing all those vagrants out every day. Every day you should be chasing them out.
Because they're not down on their luck. I'm going to punch somebody if I hear that term again. They are drug addicts and mental patients. Mental patients and drug addicts. That's what they are.
Eric, would you go in there and say down on their luck so I see if he punches you? No, just. Listen to this. He's been arrested 14 times for crimes just since 2019. There was a time when, thanks to tough sentencing laws, this is somebody you want put away forever. He's done.
Yeah.
You get arrested 14 times for burglary, arson, stolen property, drug offense. Get out of here. You're
and
done.
How many of those misdemeanors were knocked down from felonies?
Oh, I know. Everything now is a misdemeanor.
Right. Everything's a misdemeanor. What do you mean misdemeanor arson? What is that?
It was a tiny fire.
That's what, he said.
He just lit a match.
Right, you lit a match, yes. Oh, he just lit a match. It's
he
not
burned
a
some paper.
And he's 41, and he had 14 on the record in the last
four this is hopeless
years.
Riffraff. You can tell by looking at him.
Oh,
hopeless
I know.
Riffraff.
I know. What are we losing here?
Probably drug addicted, right?
Put him on a bus, send him out of the state. Let him go burn down something in North Carolina. Get him out of here.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, we get this thing called the Moist Line, and it's coming back in just 3 days. So we invite you to leave messages using the iHeartRadio app that John just mentioned, where you get the podcast, but also you can leave a message for the Moist Line using the microphone icon or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. A story we're not going to let go of because we think people are pretty worked up. We're bringing back after 2 o'clock, and that's, of course, Pacific Coast Highway. In Malibu, so many accidents, so many deaths, including the 4 young women who attended Pepperdine. So coming up after 2 o'clock, we'll give you a recap. Last night, there was a city council meeting. A lot of people showed up to express that something has to be done. Beyond what Caltrans says that they've already done, they did issue like a release to the media about what they said they've done for that section of Pacific Coast Highway. But clearly, it's not enough to slow anybody down.
Because the whole design is absurd, and the way the town was built around the highway.
Yeah, it's like you said yesterday, it's like a main street.
A main street
where cars are coming in and out and people are crossing, right?
With the 405 going down the middle of it. So part of it is structural. I don't know. They can do a lot to slow people down and make it safer with the curves and whatnot, but it's the original concept, the original premise really doesn't work.
Well, Lindsay Horvath, you know who that is?
Oh, yeah. She's that communist L.A. County supervisor.
She jumped right in, and guess what? She wants a speed camera there. The brand new speed cameras.
Put my objection to the government trying to extort money from us aside, okay?
Okay.
A speed camera is not going to slow down a 19-year-old who's coked up or drunk.
And has a wealthy family that can afford to pay all the fines.
Who has been indulged since he was 3 years old, who's high in his own testosterone, who's showing off to his buddies his new sports car that his parents brought. He doesn't care about a speed camera. A speed camera is just going to cost the family a few hundred dollars. It's not going to slow this guy down. And I don't understand. That is such a politician response. Well, we're going to have speed cameras. The people who speed, by and large, who are dangerous, don't care about speed cameras. You know, it's regular people who don't want to ring up tickets, but they do ordinary speeding, right? They're 5-10 miles over the limit. The guys who go 110, you know, in their Tesla that dad bought them, no. They're not slowing down for speed cameras. They don't care.
All right, we just talked about a homeless guy they're looking for in Claremont, responsible, they believe, for a stabbing at a Metrolink station with a long criminal history. Now we turn to when vagrants attack during the day, downtown Long Beach. We're going to get the story now from KTLA 5 reporter Carlos Herrera.
Terrifying moments for this victim. She was sexually assaulted here in this busy section of the downtown Long Beach corridor, just a few hundred feet from where she works on a daily basis. Now, KTLA usually doesn't identify sexual assault victims, but the victim choosing to share her story publicly because she wants the city and the police department to do more to make sure that people in this area are safe. Take a look. It was all caught on surveillance video. Watch as Rebecca Peterson there innocently walking on Linden Avenue on Friday afternoon, when video then shows a man jump up from the sidewalk, unzips his pants, and begins to follow her. She appears to be unaware of it all, but within seconds, he attacks. He pulls up her skirt, thrusts against her as she falls to the ground. Nearby, a Good Samaritan jumps into action. He intervenes, pepper spraying the attacker, who then runs away.
In that moment, I had no idea. My first initial thought was like, is this someone I know, like playing a joke on me or something like that, you know? And then it was like a matter of seconds. I was like, oh no, and he's not letting me go. So I just turned real quick and then fell to the ground. I mean, I'm just lucky that it happened in daylight and not at night, because then I probably would have been raped.
Police say 30-year-old Miguel Avila was eventually arrested not far from where the assault happened. He's been charged with sexual battery, being held on $1,000 bail. They've confirmed that he is unhoused. Now, the unsettling video being shared hundreds of times on social media as an example of the growing violence of the crime here in Long Beach downtown corridor, a problem that many say has impacted the security of residents and local businesses. A lot of people say they don't even want to go out at night. Some say the Metro's end-of-line policy, which requires all riders to get off the train at the end of the night here, plays a huge part in the homeless crisis and the violent crime in this area. Now, the city says they're aware of the rising problems in this area. The police department saying they've increased patrols here, especially in this section of the downtown corridor, especially at night. Many people here saying they're not noticing any differences. They're getting discouraged.
The unhoused. Yeah.
They supposedly they're calling this area now the Beast, because this downtown Long Beach area, we talked about this before, the end of the line. What? For the Metro train system. So you have to get off, and a lot of vagrants to stumble out, and they're there in the neighborhood.
But see how the language has been rewritten? The TV report, the reporter here ought to be talking about the violent attack. If you see the video, this woman ends up on the ground. He sneaks up behind her and thrusts his member at her.
Yeah, he had his pants down.
Right, and she
ran up behind her.
She ends up tackled on the ground. He's not unhoused. He's a attempted rapist. He's a predator. He's a psycho. He's mentally ill.
Right. That softens the, the report.
If only he had a house, he wouldn't do this.
He wouldn't be raping women on the street.
He fell through the cracks and lost his house. I mean, it's infected everything in so many subtle ways. And you know what I really like? Did you see the guy sitting at the table? I guess it was some kind of cafe or coffee shop, and they had a little bit of outdoor seating. And this guy sitting in a chair, and after the attempted rapist turned around to get away, Mr. Guy in the chair stands up and holds out his phone. It's like, stop or I'll record you.
Well, that's a threat, right?
Yeah.
I have evidence, right?
This is how people act now. Here is a guy, a big guy, sexually assaulting a much younger, more petite woman, and this hero stands up and takes out his phone. Look, you're under recording.
Well, you would have run over there and possibly gotten stabbed by a crazed vagrant, or I don't know. What do people do?
I think it used to be that people would try to stop the guy and protect the girl. Now everybody pulls out their phones, because then they could post it on social media and they'll get a lot of likes.
Well, it says here that caused the suspect to run away when the guy got up there and appeared to intervene, it says.
He didn't intervene, and the guy wasn't running away because the phone was pulled out.
All right. When we return, we're going to have the same guest we had on yesterday at this time, a Malibu resident, to talk about last night's city council meeting. And a lot of people showed up to say something has to be done. That section of Pacific Coast Highway now has taken the lives of 4 college students at Pepperdine University. So we're going to find out what was discussed and where they're going to go next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And we have Sandy Wells live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.